everybody. Glad you're with us on NFL Live just a few hours from the start of Week 9. We'll be talking about that. Also, Tua Tagovailoa going to have to play a lot better against this Cardinals team to get a win in his second start. And Tom Brady, we have the recipe for how the Saints can defend him this time around. It worked last time as well. Aaron Rodgers, he's going like this because he's not sure who's going to be playing on his team tonight. More on that in moments with Adam Schefter. Dan Orlovsky's here. We got Keyshawn Johnson here. I mentioned Adam. He's there. And Marcus Spears as well. So let's get right to it, guys. Thursday night football between the Packers and Niners in San Fran will take place as scheduled on Wednesday, though. The Niners close their practice facility following a positive test from wideout Kendrick Bourne. Later placed additional players on the reserve COVID-19 list after the team conducted its contact tracing. So, Adam, the game is on, but a lot of players out on both sides. What more can you tell us about this game in just a few hours?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Actually, Kendrick Bourne tested positive on Tuesday or Wednesday, then tested negative today. Now, there have been 104 cases like this before, Laura, and 101 have come back positive. So they don't know whether it was a true false positive or not, but the indications are that he tested positive, and the NFLPA and the NFL are looking into it because there are questions about how much Kendrick Bourne did or didn't wear a mask. But there you see the players who will be out tonight. The Packers essentially are missing running backs. The 49ers essentially are missing wide receivers. And so while this is a rematch of the NFC Championship game from last year, it'll look very different than the NFC Championship game last year. Every offensive player who touched the football in that game for San Francisco will not play tonight, and the 49ers will have to rely on an entirely different set of players to try to get the job done against Green Bay.
It's just crazy when you think about that. Adam Schefter with us all show long. And Dan, it's certainly tough to play a game following all of this news. But when you think about these missing pieces for the 49ers, which player, especially on the offense, hurts them the most against this Packers defense?
Well, certainly Ayuk. You know, like, they don't have really a receiver. Trent Taylor, maybe Ricky James, that's been part of a pass game for them in San Francisco. But listen, Kyle Shanahan is the best coach in the NFL when it comes to adjusting. You know, like, figuring out how to get their run game. You know what? I got to get the ball to the unblocked defender and our back or Kyle Juszczyk. You got to make plays. And then he'll also figure out ways where they got to make four blocks instead of trying to make six blocks. So Kyle's the best in the NFL doing it. He'll figure out a way.
So, Key, we get it from the game planning standpoint that Kyle Shanahan's one of the best. But when you really don't have many pieces, does that concern you about how he'll be able to plan in this game?
It really doesn't. It just speaks to what Dan is saying. Yeah, when you're the best at game planning, it doesn't matter who you have. I mean, I hate to bring the New York Jets up, but when you start talking about a genius of an offensive coach and Adam Gase, can't compare him to Kyle Shanahan. It's not even close. You look at Nick Mullins, they are 1-1 with him at the helm. He's been this way all year long. They haven't had anything to work with.
Yeah.
And they're still in a point where they've won four games and they're still in the hunt for a playoff spot, despite not having a full roster of talent that they started the season with.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Guys, that's amazing. All right, and last time we saw these two teams play, and I know it's a personnel standpoint, but Raheem Mostert became a superstar, and Kyle Shanahan and this play calling and all of those things that Dan just illustrated and what Key said is vital. Because, listen, we just showed you all the receivers that will be missing for the 49ers. They are going to go back to their blueprint, and I want everybody to understand this too. The most concerning position loss for me is not only Kittle but Trent Williams, because this game is predicated on San Francisco 49er being able to get big people up on backers, as Dan just showed. Kyle Shanahan will be fine. He's going to try to control his clock. He understands that he doesn't want to put this defense in a situation where Aaron Rodgers is able to get two or three extra possessions. That has to be the plan. You're not going to go toe-to-toe going downfield. Nick Mullins will have to make a few throws. Jimmy Garoppolo last year in the NFC Championship made 8. If they can't get the run game going, it'll be over quick. If they can, they'll have a chance to win this game and only asking their quarterback to make a few plays. And that's reality with the San Francisco 49ers. That's who they want to be. I know we get enamored with people spreading the ball all over the field, and we talk about a lot of things creativity-wise in the passing game. As far as the run game, that's where San Francisco really makes you pay, and Green Bay ain't defending that well right now.
Yeah, you know, one thing I think that could happen tonight as well is maybe some pre-snap motion action with Shanahan. He's been a mastermind of that, disguising with the Niners offense. In fact, they've used pre-snap motion 70% of their plays since the start of last season. That's the highest mark in the NFL. Dan, really, really fast?
No, I'm saying they're number one in the NFL.
Oh, okay, there we go. I thought you wanted to get back in, but all you were doing was giving me props. Thank you for that. Let's bring in Adam Schefter once more. And Adam, the 49ers not the only team facing some COVID realities today. Take us through some of the other top stories.
It's going around the league right now, Laura. Today we saw the Houston Texans shut their facility, with the Texans officially placing Dylan Cole, Jacob Martin, and Whitney Merciless, three linebackers, on the reserve COVID list. The Bears shut down. The Colts had a staffer test positive. The Chiefs had a member of their athletic training staff test positive. And so there are a lot of issues going on around the league, not just in those cities, but with other teams as well. The Detroit Lions right now have Matthew Stafford on the reserve COVID list. He obviously came into contact with a non-team member who has COVID. If he tests negative for 5 straight days, he'll be eligible to be activated for Sunday's game against the Minnesota Vikings. And as for the last test case of the weekend, we've got a situation with Andy Dalton where he's on reserve COVID list. He's out of Sunday's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Dallas Cowboys are looking at Cooper Rush, Garrett Gilbert, and trying to make a determination about which quarterback they will start on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Reigning MVP Lamar Jackson had a rough outing last week against the Steelers, posting a career-high 4 turnovers in that loss, and won't get any easier for Lamar as the Ravens prepare for Sunday's meeting with the Colts. They have one of the most stingy defenses in the league and stand a perfect 3-0 at home this season. And Indy's defense has been on the rise in 2020. Linebacker Darius Leonard's impact cannot be overstated. Leonard missed weeks 5 and 6 with a groin injury. The Colts allowed 29.5 points on average in his absence. Call that job security. The Colts D also has allowed a QBR 51 points higher than the 5 games Leonard has played, not to mention a less effective pass rush to go with it. So Darius Leonard is the man on that defense. Marcus, how would you show us just how versatile Leonard is for the Colts for this team?
Yeah, Els, there's very few players, and this is why everybody is so high on this young man and his future, because he impacts the game in a number of ways, and a lot of guys just don't have that ability to be a part of rush and cover at a high level. He is affecting these plays, even if he's not in on the tackle or not in on the sack, and might I add, he had a sack forced fumble on that same wraparound look against the Detroit Lions. But when Look, we just showed the numbers about the effectiveness of Darius Leonard and how much better this defense is. Now they have Lamar Jackson. They feel like they have a guy where they can create enough confusion and athletic enough to get Lamar on the ground if he gets into these tight windows and tries to take off and run. It'll be interesting to see how they play him. You cannot go and game plan for Lamar Jackson like Matt Stafford. I am not saying that by any means, but they do have a guy that changes the face of this defense when he's at that middle linebacker spot. So I'm interested to see how they use Darius Leonard in this game.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the Colts defense success in the middle of the field, that's where Lamar really excels. So that's a specific matchup to watch in this one too. Great tape, Marcus. Let's get to Tua Tagovailoa. We got more on him. Fresh off winning his first NFL start last week, Tua facing off against the Cardinals, who wreaked havoc on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks their last time out before the bye week. Kyler Murray and Tua, by the way, finished 1-2 in the 2018 Heisman Trophy voting. Here's Murray speaking about how his second career start went for him. Take a listen.
Watching and playing are two different things. Second game for me, playing the Ravens, you know, for me, my mentality going into that one was that, you know, the first week was felt bad from a, you know, personal standpoint. You know, I had no choice but to go off. Felt like I had to do more and be better that next week. I don't really know his stats from last week, but he's got a feeling of, you know, I got a taste of it. I got a lot to work on. He knows what he felt, you know, that week one, that he can get better at that week two. So I'm sure he's feeling good.
So the thing about Tua's first official NFL start, Dan, was that he really didn't have to do much. The defense was so good. Right. What are you expecting out of him week two?
Yeah, well, actually, the things that they did ask him to do, he did really well. I mean, there was some stuff on tape that you go, that looked like Tua at Alabama, the way that he saw pre- and post-snap recognition. Like those subtleties, the nuance that we saw at Alabama showed up. No, they didn't ask him to do a ton, and he didn't need to. But it was really cool and really encouraging to see, all right, the times that he did have to go operate as a quarterback or go play as a quarterback and kind of really have a great kind of pre and post snap process, he was outstanding. So he'll be challenged by this defense in Arizona because they're really good on breaking on the football. Timing's got to be his best friend. But he was really good in week one.
It's certainly going to be a challenge. When you get spotted 28 points essentially by the Rams, right, you don't have to do a whole lot. You can pass for less than 100 yards and a smart touchdown and still win the football game. Because in practice, as you know, Dan, you don't play from behind. Everything is easy. But clearly, they seen he did enough to take the starting job and wanted the starting job.
Sure.
But now, what if you got to play from behind? That's what I want to see. Can you play from behind on the other side? What if you're down 28-7? How will you perform? Will all of a sudden it be too big for you, or will you methodically lead your team down the field on scoring drives and bring them back? That'll be the key because, as you know, Arizona scores in bunches.
Yeah, I realize it was college, so it's not a direct comparison by any means, but he really didn't play from behind that much at Alabama either.
Nah.
Kind of a foreign
– The LSU game, you know,
that'd
when
it,
his
right?
last year when he got hurt, and he played great. I mean, that's in that second half where he got hot.
He got him
now that you did say that, when did he come from behind in college and win? Everything was ahead.
Right.
Not that often
because
they didn't win
there,
that.
Sure.
Right. They didn't win that LSU game. All right, let's get Marcus back in here. Let's take it to the other side of the ball from Miami. We were all impressed with what we saw from the Dolphins D against Jared Goff. What do you think they'll do, and what do you hope for them against Kyler Murray?
Look, the hardest thing, Els, for defenses to do is change philosophy based on personnel. The good ones try to force the issue, and we saw what Brian Flores was able to do to the L.A. Rams and Jared Goff. He just went zero pressure and decided, look, I'm going to heat this guy up. I don't think he can beat us from the pocket. And exactly what happened, he turned the football over. They created sack fumbles, and there was some little nuanced things that he's done defensively that a lot of young quarterbacks really don't see quite often week in and week out. Now, here's the caveat. He understands who Kyler Murray is as far as breaking out of pressure and then how bad he can hurt you down the field. They still have DeAndre Hopkins, still have Christian Kirk, who he's thrown a lot of long balls to. Fitzgerald is as good at being a hot route reader as anybody in the NFL because he's been doing it so long. So when you think about the plan going into this game, you have to change it up. We saw what Arizona did to Russell Wilson, understanding how he needed to change up coverages, how he needed opportunity to pull defensive linemen out, linebackers for underneath, to create just a little bit of confusion. I expect to see that from Brian Flores. And then funnel. Instead of sending everybody, he wants to funnel Kyler Murray and make him beat him from the center of the pocket.
All Brian Flores has to do is learn. Remember what he learned in New England, what to do. The number one thing is take away the number one guy. And you take away DeAndre Hopkins, and now you force Dan Kyler Murray to go to other spots. Yes, Larry Fitzgerald is still one of the top young, top older receivers in the league on hot routes, not young anymore, but, yeah. You know, on certain things that he can do well. Christian Kirk certainly can take the top off of it. But if you take DeAndre Hopkins away and you force Kyler Murray to do those things, you got to watch out for his feet, much like Big Boy said just now. He'll pull it down and run on you.
Big Boy. The only two things that I would say with that, Key, because you're right, but – you know, Arizona and their tempo, so how quickly can the defense communicate? And then the different places that they do move DeAndre Hopkins around, that will challenge that defense, right? So when you play with tempo and you move your guys around, everyone on defense has got to communicate. That can leave some people wide open. So that'll be the challenge, that cat and mouse game we see in football all the time.
Easier said than done to take DeAndre Hopkins away, as you well know. All right, how about a little TBT action? It is Thursday in honor of Brady and Breeze facing off for the second time this season on Sunday. They go way back. The funny thing about that photo, though, is that they actually both still look the same. So
look at the lettuce. Some good lettuce on
there. Both of them got the lettuce. All right, anyway, so Drew Breeze, 4-2 in his career against Tom Brady, including the win earlier this year. Breeze, just one of 13 QBs to face Brady at least six times. He's the only one of that group with a winning record. So Brady's been pressured at the lowest rate in the NFL this season. He struggled, though, when opposing defenses have managed to get to him. He ranks among the worst in QBR and completion rate in the NFL when under duress. Also has overthrown or underthrown his receiver 45% of those times and of those plays. So, Keith, with the addition of AB, there's a lot of these great weapons on this offense for Tom Brady. But what is the Achilles heel for this game for the Saints?
I'm glad you said this game.
you wanted me to say that.
I wanted you to make sure it's this game and not the season. I think you start with the quarterback. You have to start with the quarterback because, if anything, you cut the head off the quarterback. You go get him. And Cameron Jordan and Marcus Brown, and if you can get Marcus Davenport to start to come to play, come to the party, that's how you get quarterbacks off their mark, Dan. Mm-hmm. You apply pressure. You talk about the weapons. If you decide, okay, I'm going to take Mike Evans out, well, you've left him with how many more weapons to go to?
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'm going to take AB out. Well, I can go to Mike Evans, or I can go to Gronkowski, Fournette. So what you do is you go and get the quarterback. And if you look at any teams that ever beat Tom Brady, it's always getting after him, applying pressure to him, getting him off his mark, not allowing him to step up in the pocket. You push the pressure in his lap, and he'll fold.
Let me just really quickly reiterate. So Keyshawn Johnson is saying that the Achilles heel for the Bucs in this game
is Tom Brady. Not the season.
Okay.
I strongly disagree with that, just so we're clear. listen, like, if you watch the Saints defense, there's two things that stand out that you can attack. One, middle of the field. They really struggle covering the tight ends, especially with their linebackers. And then they're always going to give you the chance to take a deep ball shot downfield. Like, there's always a blown coverage somewhere and whatnot. And then two things that Tampa Bay has done well offensively this year is work the middle of the field. Tom is exponentially better working the slot receiver, so to speak, and they've decided to start taking more shots downfield. So, listen, I don't necessarily see that this is going to be the weakness of this football team, their offensive line.
But the question is Achilles heel. If you get after Tom Brady, who's he going to throw the ball to, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, if you get after any quarterback ever, surely, but, like,
if you take away some of his other weapons, that's like I just said, you take Mike Evans away.
Right.
You leave Tom Brady standing tall in the pocket, he'll kilt you, K-I-L-T. Right. He'll get you.
The only thing that I would say, Key, is, like, I know that sounds great. It's so hard to do.
What does Chicago do?
Well, because Chicago can rush with four. The Chicago's got the best four-man rush and keep coverage. New Orleans doesn't have that.
But wherever the pressure comes from, that's
all
that matters.
You're right. Like, if you can do that, awesome. I just don't think the Saints can do that.
Sound like you picking the Bucks to me, man.
Well, we'll find out maybe tomorrow or the next day. Either way, on the
tomorrow.
Flip side, oh yeah, you're not on the show tomorrow. Sorry, Dan. On the flip side of this game, the Saints have been without Michael Thomas since week one. Adam, what's his status looking like for this game?
Laura, he was limited at practice today with that nagging ankle injury, hamstring injury, but Sean Payton, the Saints coach, was talking about both Emmanuel Sanders, who's been out due to the virus and Michael Thomas, and said he was excited to have both of them back, indicating that Thomas looks like he is on track to play for the second time this season on Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also should add that Drew Brees was throwing off to the side today, didn't, was limited there at practice. But I think the sense in the Saints organization is one of optimism, and that as tough as Drew Brees is, he'll be out there on Sunday night against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I don't know anything, Adam.
Oh,
I have,
come on, kid.
I have no idea, but I know one thing. Getting him back on the field certainly is going to be a big boost. Tampa Bay lost to New Orleans the first game of the year. Mikey didn't do much. There's no question about it. But you can't tell me that Drew Brees is not missing his favorite target. He threw the ball to the dude 149 times last year. So you're going to tell me that they don't miss him despite winning games? I mean, he's going to be a big boost for them regardless. I think having him on the field changes a lot with that offense.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that would be Key's nephew,
Michael. Oh, I said Mikey, my bad.
It's okay. Marcus, I like when you do that. Marcus, if the Saints win this game, does it completely change the narrative around this division?
Yeah, it does. First of all, they'll be up 2-0 on Tampa after week one. And then, too, you look at the Saints play, like watching their games and actually going back and reevaluating. The Saints have played everybody tight. I think they've been in overtime twice. It hadn't been really any impressive wins when it comes to what we had grown accustomed to the New Orleans Saints doing to people. The offensive firepower, obviously, without Michael Thomas hasn't been the same. We've become enamored with how good Alvin Kamara has been in these games, and he's really been the catalyst, along with Jared Cook and a few plays from Tyquan Smith. But I also want to give them credit. Because most of the time when you lose a guy like Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, who you bought in to be a complement piece, you don't end up with a record at 5-2. And the Saints have played some real teams up until this point. But now you get Tampa, who understands themselves a lot better than week one as well. So the New Orleans Saints, they know if you look on paper, Tampa has the most talent in this game. Mm-hmm. If you look at the games when Tampa has been dominant and New Orleans has been dominant, Tampa looks like the better football team. So I think this will boost not only how the Saints feel about themselves, but then we have to come on here next week and have a different conversation about if the Saints are back in the conversation for being a Super Bowl contender. Because I think if you ask anybody right now, even in despite of a 5-2 record and winning some games closely and beating Chicago, do you think the Saints can make a deep playoff run and go to the Super Bowl? I think that answer would be an overwhelming no.
Well,
but if they get this win against Tampa and playing if Tampa is playing at their level and New Orleans plays at the elite level and they win this game, then we got to reshape how we talk about the New Orleans Saints going forward.
Yeah, listen, if they beat a team that we're talking about with the Buccaneers of being one of the best teams in the NFL, Dan, I don't know why you're shaking your head.
What you're shaking your head for? New Orleans ain't winning this game. Tampa Bay's going to win this game.
Okay.
Well, okay, so it's not even a conference. All right.
I'm going to leave it alone.
I feel the same way.
Comfortably.
We'll play the tape back
we can have a quiet wager on the side if y'all like. But
We don't do that on this show. Anyway, what are you talking about? All right, Drew Brees has been clutch at some times, too, which is important as well. Let's bring Adam Schefter back in here because we got new on NFL Live, some news surrounding the Chiefs. What do you got, Adam?
Well, Laura's Field Yates just reported the Chiefs star defensive tackle Chris Jones has landed on the COVID-19 list today, the reserve COVID-19 list. That means that in all probability, the Chiefs are going to be without Chris Jones when they play Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. He's used to generating a lot of pass rush for that team. The team has had a member of its training staff today come down with the virus. So obviously there's some concerns within the Chiefs organization right now about players and officials and administrators and the virus.
Dan, what do you think?
I mean, obviously, it's a big loss for that football team. He's their best defensive player. And you're going against a team that gets really creative with their run game. And Carolina's offense is efficient. So this is a dangerous game for Kansas City. Just be careful, you know, losing Chris Jones like this and playing a team that's going to play you in a very specific way. It's interesting.
Yeah, Seahawks game. And the Seahawks defense, they're trending in the right direction. Could get some more help against the Bills, by the way. Safety Jamal Adams expected to return after missing 4 games due to that groin injury. And non-COVID-19 illness, while defensive end Carlos Dunlap expected to make his Seahawks debut after being traded from the Bengals. And so we will expect this defense to have even more strength. But, Marcus, Seattle did have success even without those guys against San Francisco. Was that an anomaly more about the 49ers' injuries, or was it more about Seattle finding something?
I think it was more about Seattle finding something else, and they got Bobby Wagner involved in their blitz packages. We're seeing a trend in the league now where people are using these athletic linebackers to create protection problems for offensive lines up front. And then you see the turnover start to happen. But, I mean, it really goes to Key's point and also what Dan talked about. Key is mentioning about Brady. Pressure affects everything you do, not just the pass game. Like, when I'm playing D-line in the NFL, when you can get pressure, when you can create a new line of scrimmage, it kills the timing of what offenses are trying to do. It creates havoc. And then once that happens a few times in the game, your quarterback his clock speeds up. And that's what you're trying to do. And I think Ken Norton Jr., the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks, realized that about Jimmy Garoppolo. He saw at certain points when he was bringing extra guys and extra pressure that the operation for the 49ers was needing to speed up. And that's really how you can defend Kyle Shanahan. Any other way, if you sitting back and waiting and trying to figure out what are they doing, then you have a problem. So I'm saying all that to say, Seattle decided we are going to force the issue now. We're not going to sit back. And they were, if you guys remember, we showed a few clips with Jamal Adams against the Atlanta Falcons. That's what they started the season doing. Right. And we all talked about, look at the dimension that Jamal Adams has added to this defense. Well, they figured that out with Bobby Wagner last week. And now you get Jamal back. And then when you need to rush four, you add Carlos Dunlap. So this defense may be turning a corner. I think it was truth about where they're headed as opposed to just one anomaly. But we'll see with an athletic quarterback and Josh Allen if they still have that same energy going after the quarterback.
Yeah, and Dan, you've liked Josh Allen at times this season. Brian Daboll will be scheming things up for the Bills. What do you think he's going to have to do, Allen, against this better Seattle defense on Sunday?
This started, Laura, on Monday. You know, the hardest thing, and Key and Marcus, you guys know, like, the hardest thing in the NFL to handle is success. You go back to last Sunday afternoon, and they're playing at home against a team that's owned their division for 20 years. And you figure out a way to win that football game, right? That's this emotional high. Are you the team that finally put the nail in the coffin against the Patriots? Well, Monday, you better show up and get ready for work because you got another game the next week. So I'm really paying attention to Josh Allen and his growth maturity. Like, show me that you're the leader that I think you are, that you can kind of reset your mindset for yourself and your football team and go, guys, what we did last weekend is great. That's cool. We got 24 hours to celebrate it. Awesome. We got another big game coming. Because if we're the Buffalo Bills and we think that we are a legit playoff contender, that we can actually make some noise, we got to get this game. Last game doesn't matter anymore. We got to go and show the world that we're good enough to go beat a team that is a legit Super Bowl contender, because the Patriots aren't. We knew that. The Seattle Seahawks are. And so, Josh Allen, show me that you're mature enough to play good football this week, to play winning football against the Seahawks.
I follow Dan with the same thing. I think when you look at the Buffalo Bills, they beat New England. They know New England. It's a divisional opponent, much like San Francisco and Seattle. So they kind of know each other. They kind of have each other's number to a degree. Seattle's coming all the way across the country to play Buffalo. Josh Allen and that offense, as well as the defense and everybody in the building, this is a statement game for them. Right. You look at the first four games of the season for Josh Allen, he was on the Dan wagon. He was the MVP. Then you look at since week five, that thing is kind of tailed off to a degree.
Popped his tires.
Well, I didn't pop his tires.
Don't blame the Dan
wagon
you. For this.
No, I'm just saying, when you look at it, he had 71% completion percentage through week four. Since week five, 63, it dropped some. He's got to get back up there to get these guys believing in him as the quarterback that he was the first half of the season.
Yeah, I had some really good Josh Allen stats there, but you stole all of them, Key, and I'll let you have them. From here on out, Key's the stats guy here on the show. The NFC Championship, that was before the injury bug caught up to the Niners. There were seven Niners players who had an offensive touch in that game, with Raheem Mostert, of course, leading the way behind a historic 220-yard rushing performance. None of those seven players will take the field in tonight's game. That's just crazy. San Fran has a league-high $80.8 million in cap money on the IR. Welcome into the Domino's pregame headquarters. Adam Schefter, we know the 49ers have lost a lot of pieces, but the Packers may be getting some back tonight. Give us the latest on some injuries with the Packers, starting with Aaron Jones.
Yeah, some news updates here, Laura. Aaron Jones is expected to be active tonight, barring any pregame setbacks. Now, the Packers want to be careful with him, so I don't know that he's going to have the full workload. But going into pregame warmups, they believe he's going to play tonight. So Aaron Jones is likely to be active if there are no setbacks in pregame warmups. They did not activate, however, wide receiver Allen Lazard. So he is out tonight and will not be playing this evening. The 49ers, on the other hand, activated tight end Jordan Reed off IR. He'll be active tonight. They did place Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle officially on IR as well. And just a couple of notes, it's all coming to me right now. The Packers also activated Dexter Williams, and the 49ers activated their wide receiver Kevin White, the former first-round draft pick from the Chicago Bears. So both teams calling on reinforcements.
Only Adam Schefter just has like all these injury notes just coming into his head off the cuff. All right, Marcus, the Packers coming off a terrible loss to Minnesota. You heard the news there about some players that they may get back and some that we won't see. They know this 49ers team's been hit with injuries, COVID, everything, but Green Bay trying to play themselves back into the convo of being a Super Bowl contender. What do they need to prove tonight?
Can they stop the damn run, Els? Bottom line, listen, this is not – there's nothing wrong with the Green Bay Packers outside of the fact that their defense right now is abysmal at stopping the run. Not only – like, we've looked at their linebackers, but they are letting people get edge, out-leverage them, and that's what's holding this team back. It held them back last year, like we talked about earlier with this game. So they have to determine, because they know the San Francisco 49ers are going to run the football. They don't have a choice but to run the football. So I want to see if Green Bay is going to respond defensively. It's time to start separating yourself as far as a team that can go the long way, and Green Bay has to determine that, and that's starting tonight.
Dan.
Listen, I think this is a huge game for Aaron Rodgers against this Packers or this San Francisco 49ers defense. Like, if you look at the San Francisco 49ers defense and the style of defense that they play, it's predominantly this zone coverage, right? This cover three zone. Now, Aaron Rodgers this year has been outstanding against man coverage. He's got 18 touchdowns against man coverage to one interception. When he plays zone, he's got two touchdowns. If you go back to watch these games last year, through six quarters of playing the San Francisco 49ers defense, he was one touchdown, two interceptions, and he averaged like 4 yards an attempt. Like, this is a really interesting game to watch how well they play against this zone. He's not going to have Bakhtiari, he's big-time left tackle. We'll see what Aaron Jones does. Maybe Tyler Irvin gets a little bit in their run game. But I want to see Aaron play really, really well without Lazard, but with Devontae against zone coverage. I know that they don't have Bosa on defense, Solomon Thomas, some people, correct. But the fact that the scheme, the style of the defense is going to challenge Aaron Rodgers, I'm interested to see how that happens or how that plays out in tonight's game.
Dan, challenge Mitt. Not worried about him one bit. Not one bit at all. Devontae Adams, fully healthy again. Lazard's not in, obviously. They get Aaron Jones back. But you got to think, going back into Levi's Stadium, knowing what happened there in the NFC Championship game, certainly will play in the minds of Aaron Rodgers and everybody else on that team that they got to take care of business. If they want to be talked about in late January, it's got to start tonight.
Listen, I'm not sitting here like – but we have two games last year when these two teams with the coaching staffs played against each other. I know that there are some injuries, but it still showed up that this offense for Green Bay was really inefficient against this defense.
Yeah, but the personnel is a big part of being inefficient, though.
I agree. But just look at this season as well. Aaron, with, again, the difference of his performance against man, and it's the offense, it's not just Rodgers, man coverage, they eat up. They absolutely gut it. Zone, they're okay. They're okay, and so you're looking at an offense that is average against the zone defense. They're playing against the zone defense in San Francisco. I understand the personnel are different, but there are still some really good players in San Francisco, so I'm interested to watch
that
game tonight.
Is Nick Bosa playing?
No, Nick Bosa.
Okay, all right, go ahead, Laura.
There you go. All right, so Keith's not worried about Aaron Rodgers at all. Dan is a little bit. Either way, we're all on the Packers tonight, so every single one of us picked the Packers with similar scores. Let's get to one more thing before we go, and we begin with Adam Schefter first.
I think the NFL's plan tonight, Laura, is a window into what the league is thinking in regards to all these games with COVID. People have been calling on the league to add an 18th week to push back games. The league marches on. The show goes on. And the fact that so many players are at tonight's game and the game is still being played shows you the league will finish this season and is determined to do that.
The Tennessee Titans, they missed their left tackle, Taylor Lewan. If you watched that game 2 weeks ago and then last week against Cincinnati, they miss their all-pro. And so Ty Sambrio's going to have to step up and play a little bit better football. They got to figure out a way to get their offense back on track without their left tackle.
This isn't good news.
tremendous amount of respect for this player. JJ said, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. I want to win now. And that's the expectation that he has based on how he plays and getting your long-term quarterback signed. I can't wait to see what the Houston Texans do moving forward.
Next man up for the Miami Dolphins, Myles Gaskins, was put on IR. I thought that he would have, when I looked at the schedule, I figured he would have a big game to help them out and take some pressure off of Tua against Arizona. Somebody has to step up to do that now with him on IR.
We'll see how that goes, and we can't wait to see what happens tonight in this Packers-Niners game. I think it's going to be a really interesting game, guys. Anybody else with me there? Just raise your hand if you are. Are you about to throw some trash? Okay, that's... I don't know what's happening. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for being with us, everybody.
If you can hit me, Dan.
Yeah, don't throw a fastball.
Oh,
no.
He dropped it. No, it curved on me.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.